When we come to the Gospel of John, the passion that we find there is so very different from the first three Gospels, from Mark, Matthew, and Luke. There's no agony in the garden. There's none of the anguished cries that we find in the other Gospels. Jesus is not questioning God for forsaking him there on the cross. When he takes up his cross and carries it through the streets of Jerusalem, he doesn't fall down. There's no need for Simon of Cyrene to come and assist him. Jesus is the sovereign one, the powerful one, the one who comes in the very presence of God, the one who is there as the one who was there with the Father from the very beginning, the one who, from the opening verses of the Gospel, knows what this is all about, knows the power of this moment. The same Jesus is there to proclaim the truth and the dignity of each of the people that he encounters along the way. The sense of the victory that he is bringing about. Because this is his hour. This is the hour that he has prepared for, that he has longed for, that he told Mary back in the second chapter when she asked him about the fact that they'd run out of wine at the wedding in Cana. And Jesus had said to her, "Woman, my hour has not yet come." And then in John 12, when some Greeks come looking for Jesus, and Andrew reports this to Jesus, he makes this announcement, "Now the hour has come." And last night, as we began in John 13, again, he tells us, "Now the hour has come." And so it's only right that the final words that Jesus says on the cross, after he's thirsted and expressed his longing for our love, his longing for us to make sense of that, for us to be in that proper relationship with him, that his final words, after he has had that bitter drink, is to make that cry, "It is finished." Because all of the scriptures are now fulfilled. All of the desire and the longing that God had expressed through the scriptures for his people to be free from all of these other things, free from the exile, free from sin, free from slavery, that all of that was now going to be perfected and completed by Jesus. And so he's able to make that declaration that indeed through the cross it is finished. That everything that prevents us from experiencing his love, everything that prevents us from being the fully flourishing human beings that God originally created and called us to be, everything has been removed. So that now indeed it is finished and we're able to be free with God. There's that beautiful kind of detail that is given to us at the end of the Passion account. We're told that Jesus had died and they came to break the legs because the people would push themselves up, because it was really through asphyxiation that a person would die through crucifixion. They didn't have the strength in their arms anymore to pull themselves up to be able to take that final breath. And so they would use the strength of their legs in those final moments of their life, often hours and hours. And the breaking of the legs would prevent that person from being able to push themselves up for one final breath. But when they came to Jesus, they discovered that he was already dead. But then we were given that wonderful detail that one of the soldiers then took a lance and pierced through his chest into his heart. And what are we told that there gushed forth blood and water. Now, as a male and perhaps as a overly male church, we've perhaps got too used to just thinking about that in terms of sacraments. But if you think about a person gushing forth blood and water, then the mothers here hopefully will understand that it's this rich symbol of birth, this rich symbol of Jesus now giving himself to us in the church, in the sacraments, yes, but in this very evocative image that we are now able to be born, that we're able to be washed by that blood and water, to experience now that very life of God. Nothing stands in the way anymore. Nothing is there preventing us from experiencing and encountering that love and mercy of God, that indeed we're able to be part of that community, part of this church, part of this life with God, because Jesus has done everything that is necessary. Everything that prevented our union with God, that's all been removed. That is finished. And now our lives can make sense. And so he hands over the Spirit. He pours forth the Spirit. The Eastern churches, when they look at this scene, when they see this scene of the crucifixion, they say this is the whole of the birth of the church, the giving forth of the Spirit, the Pentecost moment, the glorification of Jesus. All of this is here, that everything that is necessary for our salvation is found in this one moment. And so this is indeed a Good Friday. This is indeed a day of rejoicing, a day of life, a day of celebration. A day, yes, when we commemorate the cross, when we reflect upon our own sinfulness, around our own unworthiness. But it's a day of a victory, a day of Easter, a day when indeed we're able to stand as people redeemed, people able to be in the very presence of God. And that's the glory and wonder of this moment.